I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over,
baby. It is a touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawks fans, and welcome into, unfortunately, the final Hawks Talk of the season here on iTunes and CSN. I'm your host, Joel Gunderson, as always. It's the final, of course, because of the buzzsaw that is the Atlanta Falcons offense, which yesterday ran right through a Seattle Seahawks defense that I thought would have a better showing. But after the Seahawks jumped out to a quick 7-0 lead yesterday, it was pretty much all Atlanta from that point. They would put together scoring drives of 75 yards, another 75 yards, a 99-yard drive, which really showed the vulnerabilities of the Seahawks defense just a week after holding the Detroit Lions to 6 points, which of course gave a lot of people confidence that they would be able to slow Atlanta down. But Matt Ryan, who may very well be coasting into an MVP award, he was razor-like in his efficiency, and he consistently burned the Seahawks over the middle, clearly looking to exploit the weakness in Seattle's secondary with no Earl Thomas there right over the middle. Ryan would finish 26 of 37. He had 338 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And that was a big key. Russell Wilson would throw 2 interceptions, which really halted any attempts that Seattle had at making a comeback in the second half once they were down. And once you get behind the Falcons on the turf in the Georgia Dome, they're almost impossible to come back. I mean, this is a really one of the top 5 or 10 offenses of all time. Now, I thought that Seattle had a chance to really slow them down simply from the fact that they had been playing so well the last couple weeks, and you know, their history and their reputation would lead you to believe that this is still a top 5 defense. They were 4th in the league this year in points per game after 4 straight years of leading the NFL in points per game, but this Atlanta team is on a different level, and we saw that yesterday, just how good they can be. Now, heading into the game, I had some confidence that the Seahawks would actually be able to find success on the ground with Thomas Rawls, which could have, in turn, helped slow down the Atlanta offense by keeping them off the field. Remember, Rawls rushed for 161 yards last week against Detroit and really ran with a sense of confidence that we hadn't seen really all year. And Atlanta's run defense is the strength of their D, but they didn't come in as world beaters. But once again, Seattle could not find any consistency on the ground, or maybe even better way to say it, they didn't look to be consistent on the ground. And I've said it all year long. They don't need to rush for 150 or 160, 70 yards per game. What they have needed to do is show that they can move the chains consistently, get 3, 4, 5 yards when you need it. Last week they did it. You saw the result. Yesterday, they couldn't do it. Well, they did the opening drive, and then they stopped, and they became one-dimensional, and Atlanta knew what was coming, and they were able to shut it down, and that's what happens when you don't have the threat of the second dimension. Seattle finished with 101 yards on the ground, but 49 of those came from Russell Wilson scrambling for his life, trying to get yards, and a lot of them came late in the game. Rawls only finished with 34 yards on just 11 carries. And what has to be the most frustrating part for fans, and I would imagine for Rawls as well, is that on those opening drive, he looked really good. He was finding some holes, picking up yards, but once again, offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell and head coach Pete Carroll went away from it. And you have to wonder, at some point, is the head-scratching play calling from Bevell going to become a real issue? We all know about what happened a couple years ago. We all know about what happened earlier this year, throwing the ball when they had the ball on the 1 yard line. That game, it didn't matter. But not sticking with the run is a prime example, especially on the road when it looks as if you may have something there. We all know the struggles the team has had running the ball this year, so you would think if they're finding some success, why wouldn't he stick with it? Go to it until it doesn't work anymore, then revert back to your game plan of giving the ball to Wilson. Yes, Wilson is a wonderful talent, and you have to have the ball in his hands in order to be really successful. But you also have to ride the hot hand, and Rawls looked to have it early. He really did. It'll be an interesting subplot to follow next year and see if Bevell's mindset changes. So oftentimes in the offseason can really breed significant change for guys like Bevell in that position, coordinators. once they've had an opportunity to sit and look at film and watch it without the pressures of preparation, they can really just sit back and look and say, okay, what worked, what didn't, what did I do wrong, what did I do right? And that's going to be something that he really needs to focus on. And who knows if the results would have been significantly impacted had Rawls had a bigger role, because the Atlanta offense was just that good, and the Seahawks secondary really looks to be a shell of its former self. Earlier last week, I found a stat comparing Seattle's defensive passer rating before Thomas's injury and after. They were allowing a passer rating of just over 77 before his injury, which had been really up near the top in the NFL. But after he got injured, they were allowing a passer rating of 99. And when you put that up against Ryan and Julio Jones and Devontae Coleman, at some point there's just too many weapons to try and stop. Especially, like I said, when they're on the Georgia Dome turf. And when they're at home, they're very reminiscent of those early 2000 St. Louis Rams teams, the greatest show on turf. I mean, they have so much speed and so much confidence that they're going to be able to do what they want to do. And it really started to show yesterday. Looking at the whole specter of the season, there were many problems that plagued this Seattle team on the field that led to the disappointing finish. The offensive line, by and large, was a colossal failure all season, despite little tiny blips of success. The secondary, as I mentioned, after Thomas went down, was a really poor shell of its former self. And the run game, in large part because of the line, was an afterthought, which for so many years had been their bread and butter. But after the game, Michael Bennett showed perhaps his team's biggest flaw, and Earl Thomas did as well, and we'll get into that in a minute too, but it's mental weakness. Now, if you haven't seen it, Bennett, after the game, went on a profanity-laced tirade towards a TV reporter, consistently berating him and calling him names and basically insinuating that he doesn't know anything about the game, so he just shut his mouth. Now, he's clearly frustrated by the way the game went, and that's understandable. And I oftentimes think that they let reporters into the locker room just a little bit too soon afterwards. You got to give these guys at least a half an hour, I think, to calm down. And, you know, they're playing such a violent, emotional, adrenaline-fueled game that you put a microphone right in front of their face after the game's over. Of course, sometimes you're going to get these explosions, but Bennett was way out of line. I mean, he took it way too far, calling the guy an MF-er and all this stuff over and over. But it was a clear example of this team just not being in the right mental state. And from far away, Earl Thomas went on to Twitter later after the Patriots game and talked about how, you know, he owned Tom Brady during the season, and if the Patriots had played in the NFC West, it'd be a different story. And yeah, it was petty and uninformed, because a lot of the things he was saying simply aren't true. It weren't making a lot of sense. But those are just a couple examples, but it was the latest of this team being so off-kilter. Whether it was Bennett or Richard Sherman's infamous outlash at the coaches on the sideline during the season, there always seemed to be a bigger purpose with this team. I mean, but not in a good way. The chip on their shoulder that has so often carried them to never-before-seen heights, in reality, it turned into one of their biggest downfalls this year because they weren't able to harness it. The great teams are able to channel their feelings of disrespect on the field and use it to take down their opponents. Tom Brady, to this day, has a huge chip on his shoulder. Despite all of the successes he's had, he can channel it properly and still find the right fuel. And for the past few seasons, the Seahawks have been able to do that as well as anybody. Guys like Sherman, Bennett, Doug Baldwin especially, have been masters at it. But this season, from the opening kickoff against the Dolphins, really, things just never felt right for Seattle. And you have to wonder just how much of it was the retirement of Marshawn Lynch in the offseason, because in reality, I don't know that the offensive line was that much worse than seasons past. Lynch, I think, just kind of masked a lot of their deficiencies. So not having Lynch instantly cast a shadow of doubt to the team. Then, opening week against Miami, Wilson gets dinged up and wasn't the same for at least 7 or 8 weeks. And after that, things started to kind of turn for the better. We saw CJ Procise really burst onto the scene. The team went into New England and won, and things were starting to look good. Then Procise got hurt just a couple weeks after he really started to make an impact. And that may have been one of the most impactful scenarios this team faced, because he's an extremely unique talent. He's a running back that fit in perfectly with the offensive line situation because he doesn't need much space to make things happen. He's so shifty, and he's smaller. He's an exceptional receiver out of the backfield, which gave Wilson, who rarely had a lot of time to set his feet and find open guys, another outlet. And he was simply exciting. I mean, Seattle's offense was not exciting throughout the year at all. But ProSize gave that to them. And when he got hurt, as bizarre as it sounds, considering his impact was just a couple weeks and he was a rookie and wasn't a super highly drafted rookie, the team was really never the same after that. And you have to wonder if his injury combined with Thomas's was just too many blows to withstand. And they started turning their frustration and anger outwards instead of inwards and channeling it, using it the right way. Now, after the game, both Wilson and Carroll took the mic to address the media. Here's Wilson talking about the season and the game and what went wrong.
Obviously, a tough situation, a tough loss. You know, the Atlanta Falcons did a great job, a great football team. You know, Matt Ryan's a great quarterback, and they played a great game. And, you know, happy for Coach Dan Quinn. He deserves it. He's a great coach, great person. And so in terms of us, you know, it seems very, very similar, you know, to 5 years ago. And that's the good thing. Coming off the field, I was like, man, you know, we still got the same great guys. We still got the same great coaches. We still believe in everything that we're doing. And there's no doubt. This year was a little bit tough. We had a bunch of injuries from myself to other guys, and we still battled through. We still were able to overcome situations. We were still able to obviously be here today. And we had a chance. We had some big, big plays, and unfortunately got called back, and then we got a little crazy there. But unfortunately, it wasn't our night. But we believe the next time we get to step on the field, it's going to be our day. And hopefully for the whole season. So there's a lot of confidence in our locker room, a lot of belief. We still have great players. We still believe in what we're doing, and we still believe in the 12s.
How tough is that swing to overcome? I mean, what does it do to a sideline to go from a return to backed up and safety?
Yeah, crazy situation. Obviously, Devin Hester, well, you know, arguably the best punt return and kick return of all time, brings it all the way back and brings it down to the, you know, 3 yard line, whatever it is. And you know, they get a holding call. So I think it was a holding call. I'm not sure exactly, but I get a penalty. And so you know, we got to be able to overcome situations. And then we backed up, and then, you know, a fluke play happened. And so that was the situation. But there's still a lot of things left out there. There's still a lot of opportunities, and they made their plays, and we made some really good ones too. You know, you think about the resolve, the mindset of our players. I mean, still down, I think it was 16 or something like that. You know, we get the ball back, you know, we score a touchdown, and they score again or whatever the situation was. And then we get the ball back, and I throw the ball deep to Paul Richardson. He makes an unbelievable play, and unfortunately they said the ball hit the ground maybe at some point. So, you know, we believe that we had hit that, we would have scored the next play, you know, and then the game's real close. So, you know, but like I said, you got to give credit to the Atlanta Falcons. They're a great football team. They've been great all year. You know, like I said, we have great confidence in who we are as a team. We have great confidence in our organization and what we're going to be able to do, you know, coming up soon.
You mentioned Paul. What do you show you the last couple weeks with a bigger opportunity?
Well, Paul Richardson had a great week of practice again, once again this week. The past few weeks he's stepped up to the plate, has done an unbelievable job. And you know, we want to use that for acceleration into next year. He got great speed, got great hands, he got great ability, loves the game, he's passionate. He had a great offseason. I remember training with him all offseason and just his passion for the game. And so it's good to see that. And that's a positive. That's another positive. And I thought Jimmy Graham, you know, in my opinion, that guy should be the comeback player of the year through all the things that he went through, to be able to battle the situations that he went through with his knee and all that, and then to be able to have the unbelievable season that he had, you know, doesn't get any better. And he's going to be a great force for us too. And then all the other guys. I mean, I could keep going down the list, but I don't want to tire you guys out because I would.
You said that was a fluke on the safety. I mean, what happened there?
I got to see. I think I got stepped on accident. So, you know, stuff happens. It's a crazy game, you know. And so I had to see it.
Chance you weren't in the end zone.
I was trying to get out of it. I thought my butt hit the ground before, but I couldn't tell. You know, it's hard to see behind you. So, but I was trying to get out of there, and I think they tapped me down. So who knows?
What was that supposed to be?
Say it again.
It
was supposed to be a pass play. I'm not gonna say the play, but it was supposed to be a pass play, and unfortunately, it didn't work out.
I think it's
Inconsistency has been a problem for you guys some this season on offense. Did tonight at all kind of feel like some of those similar issues after those first two drives?
You know, I didn't feel like we were necessarily inconsistent. I think we had a crazy play with the safety or whatever. That was, you know, unfortunate. We had a couple times where we almost got the first downs, but they just got us down. So I didn't think we were inconsistent. I thought we really were on top of what we were trying to do. We battled. We tried to make plays, and we had to, you know, try to come back from behind. And you gotta go for it, you know, if you're coming from behind. So, you gotta give them credit. I believe in what we're doing. I believe in our teammates and our coaches and all that. The exciting part is we get to, this may sound crazy, but the exciting part is we get to go back to work, you know, this off season and see how good we can really become, each individually, as a team, as a group, as a unit, and we're sticking together and we're believing in that.
So let's scored off the first two drives.
Say again.
You guys scored off the first two drives. What happened after that?
Well, like I said, they had the safety, and then kind of the flow of the game kind of got a little, you know, different there, and then we had some good drives and all that. So. They made some plays, and unfortunately, we had to throw the ball away a couple times, and then we had a couple long third down longs, and we didn't get them. So, but we kept believing, and we, like I said, the positive thing is we kept believing in one another. The plays when Paul makes that big play, we're all believing, oh man, let's go get it. And the sideline was electric, you could feel, the stadium kind of go quiet there, because we've done it before, and so. I kept telling the guys on the sideline, we've done this before. We've been here before. The game ain't over. Unfortunately, we didn't get to win.
And here's Pete Carroll.
If you don't know, it's really hard to finish the season right here like this with so much out there that you come for. You know, you come for an opportunity to get a win, keep going, moving this thing up forward. And our guys came to go. And I was really fired up that they, you know, we came out smoking and moving the ball and doing the things we wanted to do, we really had a chance to take this game into a whole different kind of storyline, and we weren't able to capitalize on it. We missed out, and we had enormous turnaround with a big return and field position and all that stuff, and then they answered really well, and so it's hard to end it like this. So if I can't describe it really well, maybe in the next couple of days I'll be able to explain it to you. I love the way this team fought all season. I love the way they battled. We had trouble getting over the hump for millions of reasons. We really couldn't capture it the way we wanted to, but we kept fighting and clawing and scratching and gave ourselves a chance to be here, gave ourselves a chance to win this football game today. But Atlanta won today. They played a very good football game. I was really impressed with all the way around. They didn't turn the ball over. They took care of it on third down, did their thing, Their strong guys came through. The quarterback played well. The running game was plenty good enough. The big receivers did what they needed to do, and so they got the game that they deserved, quite honestly. I thought it was really exactly the right thing to do at the end that Danny did. I was really proud of him for making his choice at the end. I know his fans gave him a hard time, but that's a very classy way to understand how to end the game, and I thought that was just another great statement of what a great dude he is and a great coach he is and the great job that he's doing. So, go ahead. What do you got? Well, it was unfortunately, it hinged kind of there, you know, and we weren't able to get back on top from that point. We felt like, you know, that's the time to take command of the game and go 17-7 and make them have to fight their way. And instead, it turned around, and unfortunate, you know, the safety wasn't the worst thing that happened, but the way they answered the next couple drives really was really kind of the statement of the game. They were able to turn it, and we had our shot, and we made a mistake. So it's a huge turnaround. I mean, I don't know what it was like watching it, but it, I'm sure that was a huge, just obvious as you can get, change. You know, it's an 80-something yard penalty. You know, that's a ridiculously large play in the game, and so that's the way it goes.
It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Seahawks because you get the feeling that they're kind of teetering on the edge and can go one of two ways. They can push forward with this current crop, tweak a few things, and make another run at it because they clearly have the talent. Like I've said all year long, they have the talent to win the Super Bowl. It's just a few key pieces were missing. Or they can dismantle and start over. Most of their impact players are in their prime or nearing the end of it, 28, 27, 29 years old. I mean, Wilson's 28 years old. I think a lot of people think of him as this young guy, but he's 28. And granted, he's been able to stay mostly healthy. This season was kind of the exception. But once you start getting to 28, 29, 30, especially guys like Sherman and Bennett in the secondary that play such demanding physical positions, they're going to start breaking down. But this team has also not been the same since Wilson got paid a few years ago and they had to let a few pieces go. Remember, this team was built and this franchise was built on the fact that Wilson was making rookie salary, third round rookie salary, and they were able to disperse that money across the defense, and that's when they were so dominant. And you're starting to see they've had to let a few pieces go over the last couple of years because Wilson had a big contract, and you have to wonder if that's starting to really catch up with them. Now, I'm of the mindset that they still have a year, maybe two, where they're a legitimate threat to win it all. But a lot of it depends on Earl Thomas's decision on retirement. He hinted after his injury, remember, that that may be an option, and apparently it's still very much on the table. If he returns, it's a no-brainer, I think. You go for it. You still have 1 or 2 years, like I said. But if he does hang it up, we saw how different they were without him. Now, can you replace him, either in the draft or free agency? Maybe, maybe not. He's a pretty special player. Will the offensive line be able to improve enough going into next year? Now, they played a lot of rookies this year, and the jump from your rookie year to your sophomore year is usually your biggest. So if they feel comfortable that the offensive line is going to be that much better, or if they're able to go out and either through the draft or free agency improve it, that would be helpful. Can they stay healthy? This year was ravished by injuries. Wilson all year long. Thomas, Prosize, Bennett missed a large chunk. Cam Chancellor missed a large chunk. And is Thomas Rawls the long-term answer at running back? He clearly runs with a passion and shows a lot of potential. But is he ever going to get the opportunity to prove that he is the guy? We saw it. Look at the Dallas Cowboys are a perfect example. They have the best offensive line in the NFL, and it's not even close. And in the fourth pick of the draft this year, they took a running back, which a lot of people said, that's crazy. Any running back could run for 1,000 yards behind that line. And now Elliott may be the rookie of the year, and people have talked about him as an MVP candidate. So as good as we think Rawls can be, is there someone out there that is just so much of a no-brainer as an improvement that you'd have to go out and get him? There's a lot to be answered in the next 8 months, and we'll be here to help guide you through it on CSN. We're going to take a break during the offseason here from the Hawks Talk. We'll definitely be back next season. It's been a pleasure all year long, and really appreciate everybody tuning in. It's been a lot of fun our first year. Look for some tweaks next year. We're going to make it even more inclusive and get you more content as we can, and really just excited to see where this could go. So thanks as always for tuning in our first season here. I am your host, Joel Gunderson, and we'll talk to you soon, Seahawk fans.